We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app, use the promo code CHGO. If you're Chicago Cubs, we're recruiting Shohei Ohtani tonight. That is over. All I can say is this game was Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Delmendo. For those of you on the East Coast, good morning. That was not worth staying up for. Number two, three of the seven runs were earned. Number three, this team's not good. I've decided. Took me till June 6th.
I mean, it seems
not
like
a good team.
It seems like everything that, I mean, Dan's response has obviously been really good, but it feels like a lot of what they brought in just hasn't panned out, right? Like, Trey Mancini didn't play today. And I wish you'd talk about the game, obviously, but, like, just as an overall, Mancini hasn't worked out yet. He hasn't kind of found what has made him really good as a hitter in the past. You know, the veteran bullpen guys, like, Vollmer was good today, which is kind of funny in a game where nothing else really went right after the first few innings. Like, Michael Vollmer was really good today. But for the most part, he hasn't really panned out as that veteran bullpen guy. Brad Boxberger's still hurt. You know, Cody Bellinger had a great April. Had a, you know, the first couple weeks of May weren't as good, and now he's been hurt since mid-May. And, I mean, I guess reports out of San Diego's he will have to go on a IL stint. Or not IL stint, sorry, rehab stint. Rehab assignment before he comes off the IL. So we don't know how long that's going to be.
Wisdom was great. He's not.
Yeah, it's like everything after those first few weeks has just kind of gone downhill. And yeah, was it eight games under 500 now?
Under 500. They're three ahead of where they were at the 60-game mark.
Yeah.
Same point last year.
Yeah, I believe eight is the lowest they've gone below 500 so far this season. So yeah, this is as far as like low points. Like, this is it, right? Like,
I'm watching Cody. His head's just nodding. Yeah.
It's dude,
I thought my birthday loss was bad. I mean, they blew a 6-1 lead in the eighth inning of that game, and they lost 7-6.
Yeah.
This, I wouldn't say that I feel as bad as that, but man, do I like it. This loss is right up there with it. I mean, you led 4-0. Hayden Wisniewski was honestly deserved better. He was pretty good outside of giving up the homer to Ohtani. He was good. He deserved better. Now it wasn't his fault they lost. Jed pushed. He pushed it down our throats that this team was built on pitching and defense. And you know what? Matt Mervis actually been pretty good defensively.
You were saying that yesterday.
I said it on pregame. I said it on fucking pregame. He has made some nice plays defensively. But that error, you just can't have that. Not with this roster. You can't do that. And I'm not gonna sit here and shut on Matt Mervis for the entire hour, but that error, it is the sole reason that they lost this game. The sole reason, because they weren't able to come back from it. Because let's go over the inning, right? Lead off double against Wisniewski, fine. Then he walks a guy. I believe that's what happens.
Was that fourth inning?
He hit a batter. Yes. That inning included the home run.
Fifth inning.
Right. Fifth inning.
Okay.
Included a home run. It included Gomes.
Let's see. Yes.
Letting the ball get past. So it wasn't just Mervis. Well, it was then Gomes.
But let's backtrack a little bit.
A double, a hit by pitch.
Okay, he hit a guy with a pitch. All right, that was. But it was the first inning where he was really having any trouble because after Ohtani hit the homer, he was fine. He got through the rest of the inning perfectly fine. All right, hit by pitch. What happened after that?
Line out.
Okay, he had one out, and then the next guy hit the ground ball to Mervis.
Could have been two,
and it could have been two, and at the very least, it should have been one.
Right after that,
okay, the pass ball by Yan Gomes, sure, could have you could have allowed just one run that inning. It's 4-2, but because Mervis didn't make the play, you know, things got worse. But either way, Wesneski still struck out Taylor Ward, and they would have been out of the inning if they at least get one out. And it's 4-2 at the worst. And what happens? It just turns into this like domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame David Ross for taking Wesneski out to not face Ohtani. Now, I don't blame him for that because, A, he should have never been in the position to have to face Ohtani if Mervis just fields the ball. And B, he's been awful against lefties. We talked about it a lot. All right. I will say this.
We talked about that pregame,
I will say actually. This. If you want to sit here in the chat or anyone who wants to tweet at me and argue David Ross, is it being on David Ross there, perhaps if you wanted to leave Wesneski in there because you want to see if he can get through it, you had a base open, you could have walked him and let him face Trout. That's would I have done that? No. But that's the only thing you could come up with.
I don't think that's
might be able to argue it.
Why would you walk Shohei Ohtani to load the bases for Mike Trout?
I'm just saying.
Would you rather
Brandon Hughes? Would you rather Brandon Hughes come in? Yes, he's been good against lefties in the 22
in that
play
situation.
That he has been.
If you're saying Brandon Hughes lefty on against Ohtani as a lefty in that situation, versus walking Shohei Ohtani, so Hayden Wesneski has to face Mike Trout, bases loaded. Yes, I'm bringing in Brandon Hughes.
Okay, again, I'm with you.
I'm not saying that was your argument. I'm saying that's a stupid argument.
If somebody's thinking that, they're wrong.
Okay. They're wrong.
Well, that's the only thing that I could think of that validates leaving Wesneski in the game.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't validate it at all.
Okay.
In my opinion. This is like what happened last year, and there was questions about, it was a Cubs-Cardinals game, and it was, should Stroman have walked Nolan Arenado with a base open to face Paul Goldschmidt? And as soon as I hear that, you know, the question, it's like, why would he do that? Why would you walk an all-star to load the bases for another all-star? It's the same difference here. You're walking Shohei Ohtani to face Mike Trout, who is arguably one of the greatest players to ever play this game.
Okay. Back to what happened. You bring in Brandon Hughes, who, like we said on the couch, like we tweeted from the CSGO Cubs Twitter account, lefties have hit 136 against him in this year and have an OPS under 400. Lefties against Brandon Hughes. Yeah. So, yes, the overall stuff has not been great, but he has been able to get lefties out. It's Shohei Ohtani, so it's going to be tough anyway. He didn't show up. He walked a guy. And then because of the rule of having to leave a guy in there or having to leave him in there for three batters, he was forced to face Trout, and he was forced to face the guy after.
Now, the only argument, as far as arguments go, sorry, I'm going to cut you off here one time, is lighter. Victor said lighter. And I understand that in the sense that lighter is also really good against lefties, and he's been a lot better against righties this year. Maybe you would have liked to have had him in there to face Trout instead of having Hughes face Trout. But at the same time, it's like you're up at that point in the game, and if you don't have lighter for later in the game, and you get another situation like that, then what do you do? Like, people have been talking about all season, like, they have no high leverage, late inning kind of guys. And we've talked about how, the Cubs really don't. And so that's why, like, David Ross has had to kind of just deploy guys in random, you know, spots. We saw this weekend, like, Adbert Ausley has kind of becoming that late inning, high leverage guy. Mark Leiter Jr., even after that Rays game, came back against the Padres and did really well in those late inning, high leverage. So if you use Leiter in that situation, maybe he gets out of it, but then you also probably don't have him for potential late inning high leverage situation with a guy like Ohtani. Like Ohtani's going to come back up again at some point in that game. And if it's the same or similar situation, you have to go to Hughes there.
You can argue that it wasn't the biggest moment of the game because it was the fifth inning, I think. And you led 4-1. I think you can at least argue that there could be a bigger moment down the road. So to not use lighter there, fine. Is it on Brandon Hughes for not doing his job? Yes. But I'm not fully blaming him or even David Ross on this game because you could have been out of the inning with Hayden Wesneski and you could have had a clean inning for Brandon Hughes the next inning if you chose to go to him to face Ohtani then. And maybe the results are different. Again, the bad defense is why they lost the game tonight, in my opinion. That's just how I feel. And that frustrates me more than a bullpen guy giving up a go-ahead two-run homer late in the game like Leiter did last week against the Rays. The bad defense bothers me more than anything like that because this team was supposed to be built on defense. Absolutely. That is what they shoved down our throats at CubsCon and all offseason, all this. I understand that, like, Matt Mervis, a rookie, he's got a lot of growing to do. He's got to be better in terms of the offense, everything. The defense, like I said 10 minutes ago already in the show, it has actually been good. I'm not going to shit on him completely because it was a bad play, though, and he's got to get at least an out there. He just has to. And so that's what's frustrating me. I hope he learns from it. And so with that said, anyone who thinks that Eric Hosmer should still have been on this roster, I just stop. Just stop. These are the growing pains of what Matt Mervis has to go through. It's what the part of being a young player is. It just is. And it's frustrating. And unfortunately, Matt Mervis is the reason they lost the game tonight. It sucks because he is a big reason they even scored runs. He had a two-run double to make it 4-0. Like, I'm just overall frustrated with how they lost the game because they did it to themselves. They did it to themselves. And all I can do is sit here with my hands shrugging, like my hands up, and I'm just shrugging because it's just like, I get it. You could look at it as like one bad loss, but you look at this team last year, you look at the record of this team last year with that roster, and then you look at this team this year with this roster, it should not be this. It should not. I'm sorry. It just shouldn't. Fans deserve better, and we deserve to sit here and talk about a better team. I'm sorry. It's just the facts. It's the facts. I have no algorithm or anything to prove those as actual facts, but the team should be better than this, dude. It absolutely should be better than this. Right now, we said at the beginning of the year, the season predictions, we all said at least 80 games they would win, at least. Ryan said 85. I said 88 because I'm a delusional dumbass, all right? Everyone else said at least 83, all right? Right now, that's looking real bleak, dude. And it's June 6th, like Luke said. Are you kidding me?
We're going to start stock up, stock down tonight. It's June 6th. We barely made it 2 months into the season. All of the things we talked about in the preseason and early in the season when they were winning, most of them are out the window. Cody's hitting the nail on the head. Defense. God, this was the sloppiest baseball game you ever saw. First baseman, I'm not blaming him for, like you said, everything. The ball's literally hit to his chest.
It's in his glove.
Falls out. Your defensive-minded catcher lets the ball scoot through. Your center fielder probably could have caught a ball in center field. Patrick Wisdom hasn't been great at third base. Defense. Good defensive baseball team. This team might be worse than they were defensively last year. Ooh. Seriously, that's the start they're off to. With Cody Bellinger out, listen, they started this season without a first baseman.
Yeah.
Don't forget all those mishaps. Yeah. So defensively, this team's been a train wreck.
Right.
I don't know if I go that far, but
it's not good.
There are specific moments when
three of the seven runs were earned.
Yeah. Well, they're obviously going to have their flaws. Like you guys have said, Matt Mervis had the air. You know, Gomes probably it was a tough ball to block, but he should have been able to get his glove down.
He'd say
he would have said that too. You know, Talkman is a That's like an in-between.
He's done a nice job.
It was.
Yeah, it's not nice but plays, but yeah, it was an in-between ball.
It was an in-between. Like,
Snowball was going downhill tonight.
Well, so I don't, yeah. I don't know. The Talkman one is like, could he have dove?
Let's put it this way. Well, the way I look at it. Great plays where you were like, no. Well, they made up for that.
No, I definitely didn't.
And so that's the first thing. We leaned on defense. Oh, they're going to be so good defensively. Great. Dansby and Nico are great up the middle. No question about it. The bullpen was the second one. Well, I mean, they've imploded. Tony Andracki shows us Estrada, and that's a guy I keep saying put in there. He says since May 23rd, he's retired five of his 18 batters. 8 hits, 3 homers, 5 walks.
Yeah. And Megan Montemurro had put something out about Estrada. What was it, 92.7%?
Oh, man.
Fastball since he got recalled. May 15th or whenever it was when he got recalled, it was, I think it was like 92.7% fastball or something. And he, you know, threw a lot of fastballs again today. I mean, he just, what, he walked 3 guys and then got taken out? Was that how his inning went? I think Estrada has like the fastball plays when he has the other stuff playing too. And it just seems like he doesn't have complete confidence in the other stuff. And as far as young guys coming up and helping this bullpen, it's just like that Mets game when he came in and got, you know, he got out of that bases loaded jam against the Mets, which was huge for him. Since then, I just haven't seen enough that you really trust Jeremiah Estrada in high leverage situations. You know, again, like Fulmer today was great and came in and cleaned up the mess that Estrada had left him with, you know, the jam that Estrada got into, came up and got him out of it. But, like, yeah, Estrada just overall hasn't impressed the way you wanted him to, especially, you know, that rise he had last year. I think he started the season in high A and debuted. Like, he did really well last year. He hasn't gained the trust in his opportunities that he's gotten. And it's just kind of to the point where it may be the next guy up. Like, whoever's next to get that shot, it's their time now. Because especially with the way where the Cubs are at right now, 8 games below 500, the bullpen's got to get figured out. And someone made the point that, like, with Hughes, if David Ross can't put Brandon Hughes in and get a lefty out, it is Shohei Ohtani, and I get that, is probably the best left-handed hitter in baseball. But Brandon Hughes' job is to get lefties out. Yeah. And if you can't do that, where does he fit on the team? Like that was the point. And I like Brandon Hughes. And
his knee might still be bothering him. We don't know that. But if that's the case, then
it may be too. And he
get him the treatment.
He was,
and get him right.
He was very impressive last season. He just hasn't looked right this year. He's, you know, 2 IL stints now. He just hasn't looked right this year. And yeah, as they said, I don't remember who had the comment, but if his job is to go in and get lefties at the major league level, no matter who it is, he should be able to get the job done. And if he can't, if that's his only job and can't do it, then, you know, where's his place in the bullpen?
Bleacher Nation had a tweet that, like, resonated with my soul an hour ago. He said, I'm assuming it's Brett Taylor who tweeted it. He said, if you had told me in the spring that Keegan Thompson, Brandon Hughes, and Jeremiah Estrada would be quite bad well into June, I would say, oh, hey, the bullpen is probably in serious trouble, eh? And then I would throw up. And, yeah, that resonates with me. Because, like, maybe Estrada was one where you're like, I could see it because he's young and he hasn't really proved a lot. He's only, you know, he had a few nice appearances last year. But Keegan Thompson and Brandon Hughes were some of the best arms in the pen.
How about Assad in the World Baseball Classic? You looked at Assad and you were like,
yeah,
complete weapon.
He was touching 96,
he hasn't pitched
97.
like he did in the World Baseball Classic.
No. He's had his ups and downs this year. The one that like really blows my mind is Keegan.
Yeah,
and you know
he hasn't done well in Iowa.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I know there's been some blowups in Iowa, and that was a guy who was supposed to really be an anchor for this bullpen. Yeah. Regardless of, you know, that multi-inning role, I don't know, that they didn't really use him. They didn't really use him like that for the season, but he also wasn't great, like, regardless, like, no matter what role they had him in. But coming off 2022, like, he was dominant in that role.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of, again, we expected him to just kind of come back in and do that and be the mayor of Chicago, like, you know, Cody likes to call him. And he just wasn't that this year.
It's literally Alzolay and Leiter are the only two guys you can count.
And Merriweather.
Merriweather's got, like, since that first game, game, then it was a lot of low leverage, and, like, now he's starting to get more and more high lever or higher leverage stuff, and I think he's been pretty good. So I think, like, that circle of trust right now is, like, Merriweather, Alzolay, Leiter, and maybe I'm missing a fourth guy. I don't know for sure, but, like, those three seem to be the guys that Ross has started to depend on more and more and more lately, just because they've gotten the job done, not every time, but better than some of these other guys have gotten in that bullpen.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think if you want to, if we want to criticize Jed for, like, how this bullpen's been made, like, it's fair. I mean, Fulmer outside of tonight and maybe a few of his last couple of appearances, honestly, it was more than just tonight, the last two, three appearances that he's had, honestly, haven't been, they've been pretty good. I've actually, but they've been using him in, like, lower leverage situations, like when they're not leading in the game, whenever they bring him in. And so whatever, but overall he hasn't been enough. Like, yeah, like he was their big bullpen signing, right? As far as free agents. And, you know, Merriweather's been fine, so that one's been okay. You know, Boxberger up and down, but now on the IL. You know, you can't blame Jed on injuries, but also, like, I don't know. Like, there were people who were probably questioning the bullpen coming in the year. The only reason that I wasn't, because I was high on Keegan Thompson. I was high on Brandon Hughes. I was high on, you know, some of the guys they have in Iowa that we haven't seen yet. Jeremiah Estrada. Like, and they haven't worked out. And, like, I don't know who to blame other than Jed for not having more insurance, I guess. And if you weren't going to go get that insurance, then maybe they should have given some of these guys in Iowa a chance a little bit earlier. I don't know. I don't have the answers. All I know is that the bullpen issues are all on Jed, because they could have done more. They could have brought Andrew Chafin back. They could have, you know, signed a higher leverage, more proven arm. I wasn't all for bringing Kimbrel back, because he's just, like, on the back end and has been struggling anyway. But, you know, the Phillies are using him in high leverage right now, and at least he has closing experience. At least he could have been someone in the pen that, you know, shows that can help some of these young guys. I don't know. I don't have the answers. All I'm saying is I think if there's anything to blame Jed on for sure for this year, it has been the bullpen. But again, I'm not blaming the bullpen on the game tonight. I'm blaming the bad defense. Estrada was definitely not great, and he's probably heading back to Iowa, and they gotta figure it out with him.
Listen, I know it could be. If you want to go glass full, sure. Could it be worse? Yeah, they could have signed Rodon to that deal and made this season even more frustrating. They could have signed DeGrom to that deal, and it would be more frustrating. They could have signed Benintendi to that deal, and this season would be more frustrating. Right? Like, there's plenty of bad moves out in baseball. The problem is we're sitting here, and it's like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it's like, I got you, babe, all over again. And the guy steps in the puddle, and we go through it again, and there's a bad game, and we get sucked back in, and it's like they're not good enough, and they're going to trade. They're eight games under.
I don't know, man.
I saw the good this season, but that's starting to look like the outlier, and I just don't see how they shake out of this. Eight games under in the worst division in baseball.
My biggest thing is that their record is so similar as last year. At this point, you look at their record on this date last year compared to this year on this date, and it's eerily similar.
And do you expect the second half to be as good as it was last year? They were good in the second half last year.
Was it 39-31? 39-31
last year.
You think they're going to be that? I know Niren usually says, "Oh, wait for the good second half." I don't.
Not,
when the games don't
not
count
with the,
because
not
it's
with
over.
How the schedule's made now,
but it's over at that point.
Yeah. And the thing too is that, yeah, this division sucks, but before the Pirates lost tonight, they had won six in a row. The Brewers won tonight, so I think that moves them back in first. So that just moves the Cubs back even further. They're probably 7 games back now. And the Reds, they just called up their top prospect, and we just got swept by them.
6.5
Okay, thank you, Brian. The Reds just called up their top prospect, had a huge 8-3 comeback against the Dodgers. They've been playing well. They just swept us a week and a half ago. Like, I'm not – I still think the Cubs and even the Cardinals, as bad as they are, I think they're going to be hanging around all year because I just don't see any team running away. But, like, right now, they're 6.5 games back. Like, it's not like they're – you know, like, for the entire month of May, they were like 4.5, 5, 4.5, 5. Maybe sometimes get up to 3.5 if they won 2 in a row or something like that, and all the other teams lost. Like, the Cubs had their chances to actually take hold of the division, and they didn't do it after the great month of April, and they just haven't been able to gather enough consecutive wins to even gain any ground on anyone.
Well, and even when they do, they, like, then drop a couple more and kind of get back into where they were just at. Right?
Yeah, they'll win 2 in a row, then lose 2 in a row. You know, like, it's just – it's – agonizingly frustrating, man. Like, it, because again, you look at this roster and compare it to last year's roster, and it's like, what the hell's going on? Because their record should be better than this. It's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable for
their record
a team
is
like
the
this.
Way they're playing, though. That's the way they're playing. And by the way, the Chris Bryant deal be another one that you don't want sitting like. Yeah. There's like 4 or 5 guys that we've all said, well, I wouldn't mind him on it. Be glad they're not on the books.
Well, here's a quote just for this little part that we're at from Jed Hoyer out in Anaheim talking to reporters earlier pre-game. Talking to reporters. So this is from Maddie Lee of the Chicago Sun-Times, just kind of talking about where they have to kind of go, kind of all regarding the trade deadline, but kind of how timely hot streak. You know, they're a tiny hot streak away from making up significant ground. And this was Jed Hoyer's quote. It's going to be hard to 2 out of 3 our way to a really good place. We're going to have to, at some point, win a bunch of games in a row, and I think we have the pitching to do that. We've had consistent starts, which is usually the thing that leads to winning streaks. We just have to do it. I agree with the starting pitching part. Like, yeah. Wisniewski wasn't terrible today, obviously. Like, he had few good innings, ran into some trouble there, as you mentioned, like an error.
Should have been five innings.
An error would have gotten him, or Mervis potentially could have gotten him out of there with a double play, or even one out would have gotten him out of there.
But what bullpen are you giving it to?
But we'll ask what the starting pitching has been overall really good. I think coming into today was like 8th in F-WAR. So obviously a top 10 rotation.
Yeah.
But he's right. Like, they can't just keep going 2 out of 3, if you're going 2 out of 3 in a series, you're gaining 1 game. You're going 1 game over 500, or getting 1 game closer to 500by the end of that series. So they have to go on some kind of winning streak. And as you mentioned, like, man, like, I don't see where that comes from because of the
inconsistency. Even with Bellinger back and healthy, I don't see it happening.
The lineup is just – it's inconsistent because they'll have a game like they did on Sunday with 3 home runs. And, I mean, they still only – I mean, I'm not going to say only scored 7 runs, but they didn't have this crazy blowout. Like, they scored 7 runs, had a comfortable win, and it took 3 home runs to do it. They don't have that consistently, and I don't know how they turn that back on. Like you mentioned, even with Bellinger, like, when he does come back, he's going to need a rehab assignment, and now we're sitting here, like, how much does Bellinger change around the lineup? I know he has –
He helps defensively, the power potential, helps the lineup, both things.
But
it's not Superman.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's still flawed, even when he comes back. Like Talkman hasn't even been bad. Like, he doesn't have the slug, obviously, but his on-base percentage is really, really high. He's been a solid piece in place of Bellinger in center field. So now I said is like Bellinger might add some more power, but how much does he really change around the luck, or, you know, yeah, just the good fortune of this team? Like, it's hard to see. It's hard to see if adding him leads to any winning streaks, right? Like, the starting pitching can only carry them so far, and, like, Stroman can only go 9-inning complete game, 1-hit shutout so many times. And, like, the rest of the other aspects of the game have to start, you know, kind of meeting the starting pitching halfway, which – this doesn't happen consistently enough.
you know how low it is. It's not just eight games under. The director of morale, Dom Frederick, even tweeted out a succession meme tonight. I love you people, but you're not serious people.
Mm-hmm. Right? And referring
him,
that to the Cubs.
Him watching the Cubs game, and it was from succession. It was like that. That kind of summed it up. Now, what you could be serious about is Goose Island Beer Company. Mm-hmm. Now, that's something to be serious about.
Oh, yeah, right.
The official beer of CHGO, Chicago's beer since 1988. Okay. Their beer roster, the Goose IPA, the Tropical Beer Hug, the 312 Wheat Ale. What do you got? 312, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cody likes to chug the full pocket Pilsner after a rare Cubs win. grab ultra fresh brewery exclusive beers at Goose Island's original brew house on Clybourne Avenue in Lincoln Park, or from their tap room on Fulton Street in Westtown, Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
To spin zone the entire game, the hit parlay hit tonight, guys. And
hey,
what was the hit parlay? DraftKings. Swanson, Suzuki, and Gomes.
What odds?
Plus 204.
Not bad.
Plus money.
That's a nice
can't complain
bit of juice.
About, you can't complain about plus money, all right? Hit it out of the park this baseball season with DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can place a $5 bet and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can take a shot at bigger payouts with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code CHGO only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Massachusetts. Call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org in New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus in eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Wow. Okay. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Opt-in and 10 plus leg requires for 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball terms. Wow, it was. I had you guys in the first half. I had you in the first
you
half.
You had us at hello.
That, like, honestly, we should, like, someone we should record that and then we play it at the every show. Like, that is a lot.
Why do we only have 18 likes in the chat? Like, we got 92 people right now watching, only 18 likes.
It's like blaming the weather guy.
I think we're just the messengers, man.
Maybe it's because, well, someone in the chat said something negative about me, so, like, maybe they're just mad at me. I don't know.
No, you wore the shorts trying to break it. You got the sick J's on.
Yeah.
Look at you broke out the originals.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This team stinks. I don't know.
I got a question. Well, by the way, I think it was Becky asked about Boxberger. I haven't heard an update on Boxberger. Hoyer, Jed Hoyer, gave an update on Cody Hoyer saying more time in Iowa. Tommy John rehab takes longer for certain people. He's struggling with command right now. The speed of the pitches is there. The velocity is there, but they want to see him gain that. So
yeah, talking to David Ross during the last homestand about Hoyer, I think he had kind of mentioned that he just didn't kind of like feel right, and he wanted to feel like totally like himself, Cody Hoyer, before they brought him back up. So it wasn't like a let's rush him back up. Of course, I think they'd want his arm in the bullpen, but it was kind of like, we don't want to bring him up until he feels he's right. It was kind of one of those things. So I think as far as like command goes, and that's something that I think Jed Hoyer had said, that's kind of the hang up with Hoyer in his rehab assignment. He got the extension for his rehab assignment because of the Tommy John surgery. So we'll see. It could be soon, you know, as soon as he has a couple outings where he starts to feel more like himself, that may be where the sign of that he's ready to come back up. But yeah, there's kind of have to see where that goes from there. As far as other injuries, Brad Boxberger, so he was playing catch on May 28th. He's built up to long toss for the first time on June 2nd, and he's supposed to have a bullpen session, scheduled to have a bullpen session June 7th in Anaheim. So there's a little bit of an update on Brad Boxberger and Bellinger. Yeah, we talked about it, but that Jed Hoyer had told reporters out in Anaheim that he's probably going to need a rehab assignment before he's ready to come off the IL.
Did Brendan Davis come out of the game today in Iowa or not?
I'd seen that.
Tommy Burks tweeted, I thought.
I'd seen that.
Saw somebody mention it. I mean, he's really been struggling at Iowa. That's one other thing I would say is I know the chat and a lot of Cubs Twitter said they refuse to play young players. It's not just some of the veteran guys are struggling. Like, what young players have, other than Morel's stretch of home runs, which has ended, which young players have come up and lit the world on fire? It hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't. And that's what I was talking about that pregame or yesterday, that once you start pulling all those levers and nothing really changes.
Yeah, Mervis and Morel.
Then you start getting to a point where you're like, yeah, now what, right?
Well, Mervis and Morel reminded me of when the Blackhawks used to go Kane and Taves on the same line in the Stanley Cup days. They called it like their nuclear option. Everything's not going well in the playoffs. They put their two best players together. That felt like what Jed was doing. Was like, all right, we'll pull the Mervis lever.
Just a few days later, we'll pull the Morel
lever. But I don't know where else they can go. Yeah, Ben Brown, I've heard people say, but I would say starting pitching still hasn't been the reason this team hasn't been playing its best. Now, maybe it hasn't been as good as it could be, but it's the fact that they're not hitting, they're not playing good defense, and the bullpen's been bad. It's a three-headed monster.
I don't even so this is what I was saying earlier. Like, I don't know that the defense hasn't been bad.
It's
been more like good versus great. And when you're building a run prevention type team, like the defense kind of needs to be great. Like, you kind of need to have one of the best defenses in baseball when your team is built on pitching, especially a lot of starting pitchers that get a lot of soft contact, ground balls, that kind of stuff. Like, you need really, really good defense. And I think the defense has been fine. It just hasn't been great. It doesn't feel to me like one of the top defenses in baseball, which is kind of what they need to be successful. And so then you see it when they make some of the mistakes they made today. Matt Mervis not, you know, fielding that ball cleanly. A ball getting past Yan Gomes. I think they counted it as a wild pitch, but it could have been a pass ball. I don't really know how they, decide that, but Mike Tauchman wasn't an error, obviously, but like, could he have caught that ball? He may have, but a dive also might have let that ball roll all the way to the wall and clear the bases. So I don't know. Like, the defense hasn't been bad in my opinion, but it just hasn't been as good as it needs to be to kind of just make up for a lot of different things, I think.
Well, and when we talk about the defense,
and it's not even just errors, it's like outfield jumps. I think we've talked about that. Yeah. Some of the things they do in the outfield, like, it's just not been
reliable that often. When we talk about the defense, though, it's like, when we talk about Morel, it's like, just pick a spot for him to play. Like, clearly he can't play left or right field. He's looked more comfortable in center. We talked last night about, they're giving him reps at first base, like pregame, like, taking ground balls over there. Like,
because they don't have an answer at first or third.
Right. And he's been doing that at third, too, but he hasn't got the opportunity to actually do it. We've only really seen him play the outfield and DH. And, like, I think that changes once Cody Bellinger comes back. But, again, like, I do think for a young guy like Morel, like, playing him at one or two positions at the very least, and that second position being DH, like, I think that could help him with his offense, but and then the fact that, honestly, like, I know Mervis has struggled, but there have been games where they face righties and they haven't put Mervis in the lineup, and it's like, what are we doing? Like, as much as I want this team to win and all of that, like, at the same time, I do want to see the young guys just get every opportunity that you possibly can in a season like this where, I've tried to wish 88 wins on this team this year, but I also know that this year everything would have to go right for them to make the playoffs. And so there have been times where, when you talk about the defense at least, it just feels like some of these guys are out of position or they're not – they're not in a position to succeed. And you know, you talk there, Morrell specifically is the one is one that I'm thinking about the most. But you know, like I feel like when we're talking about the defense, there've just been some bad defense from guys you're not expecting to. Like Wisdom last night, he had a nice play tonight. I'll give him that. Like, but he's had other games too, and it's like we've seen him be pretty good defensively for a long stretch of games before, and he just hasn't. He's been inconsistent. Mm-hmm. I know the offense hasn't been great for him since April ended, but like he's got to be better defensively at third. Swanson and Horner and Bellinger are the two guys, and then you know behind the plate it's been pretty good too defensively. Up the middle at home plate has been pretty good, and Saya and Hap and right and left have been fine, but after that it's been real questionable for anyone else really.
Yeah,
I'm talking when I say that I'm talking about defensively, but. Yeah, so like the guys who made the errors tonight, you know, Mervis, young guy, he's not getting consistent playing time.
Well, and then that's where I wanted to come back to is the young guy part of it. And I agree in a sense that like not having Mervis in the lineup for days at a time or, you know, the morale situation is tough. I also look at it as, is this team going to try to win or not? Like, yeah. Because they are 8 games under 500 now.
I can live with the Mervis mistake if you've decided this team's not going to do anything.
That's what I'm saying. If as we've talked about multiple times, the fine line between developing these guys the right way and just going out and putting maybe what the lineup that might bring, you know, give you the biggest chance for success mm-hmm. that night, that line is not easy, and the Cubs aren't really doing it successfully right now, but it seems like they've been trying to do that. Now, if you want to win games, it may be better. You may be better off playing Trey Mancini against a lefty instead of putting Matt Mervis in there because we've seen he struggled that in that yeah. sense, right? Except for one at bat tonight, like it just hasn't been there mm-hmm. for him. And Morrell is like, you know, if he's struggling and not doing well defensively, like you can't. If you want to win a game, you may not be able to afford forcing him to a position defensively, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you do want to start doing that, then I don't want to say you're punting on the season, but then you're kind of in a mode where you're like, okay, like the development's a little more important now. Like seeing
right.
what these guys do at the big league level day in, day out might become a little more important now. And then you're kind of looking at it, okay, this season isn't going to be about just completely winning
anymore.
But then
you play Morrell right? at third base and you just leave him there.
Well, that's what I'm right? saying. It's, yeah. like, it's like if you start to go in that direction, then you probably are at a point in the season where they're not trying, you know, I mean, not that they don't want to win every single game, but it's right. like, developing these guys now has become the more important part of the season at that point. And that's maybe where you start bringing up more guys. Maybe, you know, Gary, who's not in the chat today, gets his Jake Slaughter wish, right? Yeah. Like, you get to that point in the season.
I'm still not bringing up Brennan Davis because if he's really struggling at Iowa, you can only imagine right? what's going to happen when he gets to the majors. Look at Mervis, how great Mervis was.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's finding his way.
So if you're fine with that being the point of the season, you're like, okay, like now it's just time to develop a lot of these guys. Just let them play every day and see what they could do. I'm not going to say, you know, don't feel that way. But then you also got to realize, like, then they're probably not going to be winning as many games as you'd like them to win.
Right.
Steven says a lot of guys on this team will probably be playing in Korea or Japan within the next 2 years. Talent is thin. I disagree. I absolutely disagree with that, and that's why I'm so angry about the record this team has. When you compare it to last year, you got what, 2-3 all stars? Bellinger's out, whatever. But you got Ian Happ, you got Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner's going to be an all star at some point. You know, you got Say Suzuki, who has been pretty good, and like, you have those guys, and then your bench and some of your young guys who are still developing. There's, despite how bad this is, like right now, anyone who wants to give up on Matt Mervis or Christopher Morrell, like, I just like I don't know what to tell you, bro. Like, you know what I mean? And Tauchman, he's a journeyman. He's shown to have, you know, success in the past, and he's been fine. Like, honestly, the more Tauchman plays, it makes me wonder why the hell they didn't give him the shot to play the outfield for those 2 weeks that Suzuki was on the injured list. You know what I mean? And that's a front office thing right mm-hmm. there, you know? And that's a valid criticism, I think. You know, they sure, yeah, like other guys like Mastroboni's really struggled, and you know, we talked about Estrada, but there's also high upside with Estrada too. The dude throws upper 90s fastball, and he's just got to be better, and he's got to use his other pitches too, because he's throwing his fastball like 93% of his pitches. Got to
develop a second pitch.
Yeah, he's got like there's more development to be done. So as bad as things are, like I think that's a bit of an overreaction, but yeah, man, like I think that what I'm saying is also another reminder that like anyone who thought that some of these young guys were gonna like save the team or whatever, like that's just delusional ideology, man. Like, and but at the same time, I will argue that they should have been up earlier to where a point where they weren't being looked at as that type of person from the fan base. No. I will argue that for the rest of the year, if it gets to this team blows it up and everything, like I will still sit here and argue that.
Well, that's on the people that thought that way. I don't think that's on the Cubs I don't think the Cubs forced any fans to think these guys are going to be saved. I think that's on the people that looked at it that way. In my opinion,
I'm just saying that the Cubs called Morel and Mervis up at a time where, like, honestly, it was like last resort, like. They put a ton of pressure on them to come up and just
but
be,
people wanted
be
them
great.
Up when they were still five games over 500. People were knocking on the door for
that's like, a perfect time, honestly. They were playing well.
I disagree.
And you're not putting a ton of pressure on them to perform right away.
I'm just going to
disagree. Mervis and Morel will not save this season. We've learned that.
They have not.
It doesn't mean they're not going to be good players. It just means they're not going to save this particular season. What could save me would be a DraftKings pick of the week from Cody that would set me up with some cash in my pocket. That would make me feel better. NBA? You think an NBA?
Yeah, I'm going to take the NBA game tomorrow. The line is 2.5 between the Heat and Denver. And
team that wins game 3 when it's 1-1, 80% of the time wins the championship.
Yeah. I'm going to take Denver. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road. They're the better team. I know the Heat have been beating teams that are better than them. But I don't know. I think this Denver team's different. So, 3 points. Give me the Nuggets on the spread tomorrow.
Ooh, that's a hot pick. Almost as hot as the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills. Now, and into the future.
Yeah, ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across the territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities like for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
Oh, yeah? How's that work?
Well, Luke, let me tell you how it works. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project cost, potential incentives, and simple payback. If you own a business, don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz.
Wait, did you say comed.com/poweringbiz?
You're absolutely right, Luke. That is what I said. comed.com/poweringbiz. Schedule it today.
It was weird listening to Luke do the part that I'm always doing. And it was also just... It was actually refreshing sitting here listening to you guys do it. Not
flipped
me.
It. We flipped it.
Yeah, we flipped it.
You know what you guys want to do? It was a little cloudy today, but we've had a great stretch of sunshine here. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. For the warm weather that's ahead, premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers world-class products that are just as good as any expensive pair I've ever worn. Durable frames, extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures, and that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they'll just send you a brand new one. No questions asked. Wear the Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase them. Together with their customers, Shady Rays providing a much-needed support to nonprofit partners across the U.S. through Shady Rays Impact. From building play sets for pediatric cancer patients to providing young adults with MS the outdoor adventure of a lifetime, Shady Rays is making an impact in your community and others like it now for years to come. If you don't love your Shady Rays, exchange for a new pair or return it for free within 30 days. That's no risk when you shop. Their team has your back. And exclusive to our listeners, Shady Rays giving out their best deal this season. Go to ShadyRays.com. Use the code CHGO. You ready for that? CHGO. 50% off. 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by more than 250,000 people. I got a new pair on the way.
Same.
Yeah, same.
We all did.
Yeah, we all did.
I can't share why, but we all do.
Well, I'm not going to tell you which pair I got until I display them. Maverick style.
Yeah. Maverick style.
Boom. These are a little more edgy than the other pair. My other pair's for fishing. This pair's more vibes. And just, you know, they look great. Yeah. I walk down the street, people are going to be like, that guy.
That guy. Yeah. Okay. I know the show's almost over, but I just want to rehash real quick. Not going to try and go on a tangent here, but before we went to the ad break about, you know, calling up Mervis and Morrell early or whatever, I just want to say that, like, I don't think that if they would have called him up earlier, the season would be different than it is right now, like drastically different. My whole point is that I think that if they had called them up earlier when the Cubs were in a position where they weren't in that bad stretch in May, that there isn't a ton of pressure on them to have to perform the way that they were performing in Iowa. And that's my whole thing. I understand that you can argue against that in some aspect, but Eric Hosmer was costing them games. There were multiple games Eric Hosmer cost them. There were multiple games that, you know, some other guys had cost them and weren't in, you know, the hot streak that Nico and Swanson and Ian Happ, who has honestly not been very good, at least with runners in scoring position for weeks, you know, they started to drop, and, you know, the Cubs, they could have used them in those situations. And who knows if anything happens, it changes.
Well, that's what I'm saying is you don't know. So to say that they should have brought him up earlier is my point, is that you see what's going on now. Like, Morrell had his great hot streak, but if you had brought him up, if you had started them up in the season, they were still, I mean, they would have been maybe a couple games better. They were 5 games above 500 at one point before they went on this big losing streak. They were 5 games above 500. So his first 12 games would have happened, and they may have been like, what, 7 games over 500 at that point? Mervis has not been great, like, right, at any stretch. And someone said in here, you bring him up earlier, he could start making more adjustments. What does 2 weeks do? He's probably still in the same spot as far as making adjustments than he is right now. It's 2 weeks.
All right.
Well, that's where I'm saying is you obviously don't know, and you can argue it. You can argue that they may have got them a couple more wins. Well, guess what? They're 5 games under 500 right now instead of 8.
It's like, better than 8. I'll say that.
It's sure, yeah, by 3 games, but they're still in a spot where you're looking at a June that means so much, and they're not great. Like,
yeah.
I hear you. I don't think bringing those guys up 2 weeks earlier than they did would change the fortune of where the Cubs are at now. I don't know that it makes them have played any better. And yeah,
I think back to when they could have called up Mervis before the Nationals series. You know, the Nationals, not a very good team. They called him up to play the Marlins with a great pitching staff. You know, Mervis had the great opening day as far as getting the game or the insurance run, whatever. I just think about just not even like 2 weeks. I'm just bring him up against a team that maybe he would match up better against. And like, I just feel like they didn't do that with those two. Again, those two aren't the reason that the time of when they called them up isn't the reason they're at where they are now. But I don't know. With how the front office has handled, like, using certain guys, giving certain guys certain chances before other guys, it's like, it does make you start to question. I think Mike Tauchman is a great example of that. You know what I mean? So,
I don't know that I know what you mean.
Well, again, like I said before the ad break, you know, if they had used Tauchman in right field to start the year, maybe the outfield defense, and we wouldn't have been complaining about the outfield defense and right field for 2 weeks before Say Suzuki came back, because that was what the chat was almost every night in here, because there was some kind of misplay in right field. You know what I mean? So they used Miles Mastroboni, a guy who plays mainly infield, and someone else. I can't even remember who it was, but it wasn't good, man. Again, that was only 2 weeks, but still, there were some plays that happened that cost them some games. Again, they're playing the margins. Everything has to go right for this team to be good, right? But there's just been I just think that's a prime example of of a roster decision that makes you question the front office a little bit. And so that's why that thought has led me back to the Mervis and Morel thing and some other things. And I know we can talk about this more tomorrow, whatever, but I just think that there's a lot of questioning to the front office, more so than just the free agent signings and stuff.
Yeah, today is already tomorrow.
Yep.
Because it's after 12:30. So the last point I would like to make is that at past 12:30 in the morning, we've got 99 people watching? 93 people watching. After blowing a 4-0 lead and 7 unanswered runs and dropping 8 games under 500, the only winner tonight is the chat. Chat came through for us.
Chat came through.
So thanks to everybody for the therapy session. We appreciate it. Real quick, who you got? Did I steal it or not? We were saying it was Saya because he was 1-for-4 with a walk, but Nico got his second hit.
In the ninth inning.
And he also made that nice play at second base.
He did have a nice play at second base.
Amaya got walked and hit by a pitch.
it would have been Mervis if he didn't have the air. I may have stolen it
from Corey, and I didn't even realize it until I looked at the box score. I'm like, oh, yeah, he had the hit in the ninth.
Amaya took one for the team.
And that almost still left him with a chance to
trying to get this team back
the game
in
the game. Home run.
Hit by a pitch, trying to get him back in the game.
So, sorry, Corey. You're in California, I take the win. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. We will be back with a postgame show again tomorrow night after the game. Let's hope for a better outcome. Until then, fly the W, and we'll see you then.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.